Hello and welcome to the FV English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English, bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan league, the national teams, and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world. Today is going to be a conversation I'm sure you will enjoy listening to. I, Jordan Flora, am your host, and I'm joined today by Caracas Football Club captain Kaki Rivero and Envigado midfielder George Saunders, who combined have close to 600 professional games in South American football, and last but not least, football agent Mauricio Andrade. Before I introduce today's topic, I want to introduce our guests. So first up, Kaki, how are you?
Hi, I'm pretty good.
Thank you very much for joining us today. I know with so much experience in Venezuela at a multitude of clubs, you'll be able to give a great insight into today's topic, which I'm not going to tell our listeners just yet. And George, your experience on this matter is literally unparalleled. George, for anyone that doesn't know, is the only English professional playing his football in South America. He's been in Colombia since 2013, most recently with Envigado. George, how are you?
Hi, Jordan. How are you? Thanks for the invite.
No worries. You literally have unparalleled expertise when it comes to today's topic. And finally, Mauricio Andrade, agent at Andrade Sports Group. How are you, Mauricio? You've been on the FootBay English podcast before. This is your second appearance.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. Thank you for the invitation again. For me, it's a pleasure to be part of this conversation. Looking forward to it.
Today's podcast is going to take the form of a debate. And the topic is FootBay ready for an English player? Is Venezuelan football ready to have its first professional football player from England? Firstly, before we get into the depths of the discussion, somebody with, like I said, unparalleled experience as an English player in South America is George. George, you started your journey in Colombia in 2013, have been at Envigado since 2015, and have over 200 professional games in Colombian football. How, as an English player, did the opportunity to play in Colombia present itself?
Well, first of all, I think it helped me where obviously I could speak the language, and where I was brought up in Spain since I was 11 years of age, which helped me. Well, obviously coming to Colombia, when I arrived at Colombia, it wasn't so difficult to adapt, you know, especially where I could understand everyone. And that sort of made it very easy for me to be able to fit into the Colombian lifestyle, you know. Football-wise, it's getting better. It's very competitive. There's a lot of quality. You can see even now, Colombian players. There's more Colombian players going to Europe. Even English teams are wanting Colombian players. And for me, obviously, it was a challenge. You know, it was something different for me. And like you said, I've been here since 2013. When I arrived, and I'm happy. I got my family, kids. I think the Colombian Football League is very competitive. It's very even, you know. And yeah.
So you started at America de Cali. How did that opportunity to present itself? How did they become aware of you or you of the opportunity?
Well, first of all, I was playing in Spain for a club called Eldense. And I knew some Colombians that lived in Spain where I was living, which was in Valencia at that moment. Well, he called me up and he said, "Listen, George, I don't know if you know about America de Cali. They're looking for a midfield player, because one of their midfield players at that time, they had four foreigners, but one of them got injured. So he said to me that they would like to have a look at you for 2 weeks. Do you mind coming over and going for a trial?" I said, "Okay, it's not a problem." And at that time, Umaña was the trainer. And I remember I got there, and that was in pre-season. We had a few games. I'd done okay, and they liked me, and they gave me a 6 months contract. And the first 3 months, I never really got a game, to tell the truth. And then there was a cup game. And then once I got the cup game, sort of, I took my chance. I got player of the match, and then I started on the weekend for the league game, and then I had a really good game, and then that's it. Then I won my position, you know, and after that, then I started moving about here in Colombia. That's how my life started here. I took my chance.
And in the time you've been in Colombia, you've had, it's fair to say, multiple periods of media attention back in England. You know, there's been articles and interviews with leading newspapers in England, such as The Sun and The Telegraph and others. And there was a fresh piece in 2017 as Colombia were preparing for World Cup 2018. And at the time, one narrative in your career was obtaining a Colombian passport and perhaps receiving a call up for the national team as one of the best players in the league, and also bigger clubs in Colombia looking at you, which would have been a more attractive proposition if you didn't count as a foreigner, because similar to Venezuela, the limit in Colombia as it stands is 4 foreigners per team. Considering you've been in Colombia for as long as you have been, why do you think you've not been the first of many English players coming to South America? How come you don't think it's been like a trend-setting move?
Well, first of all, I think that's an hard one to tell the truth. Well, like I said, I think if I was in England, where I was in Spain, I think that's sort of where I could speak the language, and obviously where I met someone from Colombia, I think that sort of helped me getting the opportunity to come into Colombia. But for an English person, the Colombian league isn't something that they watch a lot and they know about, you know. And I think now that there's maybe more Colombians coming from here to the Premier, it's starting to open up people's eyes, you know, and thinking, wow, there's good footballers in Colombia. And maybe it could be a possibility that not just only Colombians go into England, but English players come into Colombia as well, you know. That could be one of the one of the things that happen. I've always, the people that I speak to, I say that you can live really well in Colombia. The league's very competitive. It's getting much better. But I really do believe that you need to be able to communicate and understand what they're saying, because a lot of the trainers, then they haven't got, like, for example, what they've got in England, where you've got a translator where they can talk to you, you know. They're very, only speak one language, which could make it a bit complicated, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, of course. And in the time that you've been in South America, the only other occasion where there's been another English player playing in a South American top flight was when Colin Kazim Richards played in Brazil for around 2 years. He played first at Coritiba and then Corinthians, I believe. But with Colin Kazim Richards, he was born in England, but neither of his parents were English. He plays for the Turkish national team. And he said himself that, you know, other than being born in England, he doesn't really consider himself as having English blood. There seems to be like a backstory to the English players that play in South America that sort of rationalizes why they've ended up in South America. Before you, there hadn't been any British players in Colombia since the 1950s. And then out of those three, one only lasted 2 weeks before he went home. Another one was born in Burma, which at the time was under British occupation, but it alludes to a childhood where the person was used to moving around, so going to Colombia wasn't as daunting for them. And the third one, he lasted just one season. His granddaughter is now a teacher at the British school in Caracas, which is a strange curiosity. But the longevity of your career in South America is unparalleled. Mauricio, as an agent, what obstacles do you think there exist to bringing in an English player to, let's get onto Venezuelan football now in particular. What do you think there is preventing this from happening before? And do you think that there's going to be barriers to it in the future? Or is it a case of one comes here, proves himself, and more follow?
Well, it's a good question. I think obviously the challenging and the reason why probably we haven't seen more cases like George's is that, you know, obviously if you're in Europe or in the English system, you know, salaries and the fact that you're already, you know, in Europe, which is basically the main goal of most South American players and North American players, is to go to Europe, which is, you know, in the market, it's seen as the top level. For some of them, it might see coming to Venezuela, Colombia, or South America in general kind of like a not as an attractive opportunity. I can see that from happening, but I think it the more we talk about it and the more we try to bring the conversation to the table, I think it's an interesting opportunity. And George can be, you know, a great example of, you know, of being on playing in second division or third division in Spain, having the opportunity to come to Colombia and having a successful career for 9 years. I think it's a great example for players that are in a similar position, you know, and you can see also that pattern happening right now in the US, for example. More and more you see English, Portuguese, and Spaniard players coming to play in MLS and USL. So I think that pattern can actually be replicated in South America, you know.
We've seen in recent years, you know, particularly the last 2 or 3 years, some players arrive to Liga Footbay that are not from South or Central America. Most of the foreign players in Liga Footbay are exactly that. They're from the fellow South American nations or the Central American nations. But in the past couple of years, we've had Ossie Bonsu, Samson Akinyula, and Ade Ogbens arrive at Caracas. Before that, Adrian Livingston, Ghanaian, had been here for a number of seasons. Yes. And we're seeing potentially, Samson and Bonsu have said it themselves, seeing the opportunity of playing for a big club in South America, a club that is going to play Libertadores or Sudamericana most seasons, as being a good way of platforming themselves in a way that they wouldn't have got in either a lesser European league, like Slovenia, for example, or even Africa itself, to make that jump up. And perhaps, if we look at the league rankings, that could serve a similar platform for players from England. For example, Venezuela, Liga Footbay's league in the world rankings, depending on who you look at, ranks between 50th or 70th in the world. If we take the one that says they're 71st, that is more or less the same ranking as League One in England get, the third level. So English players playing in perhaps League One, League Two, or the Conference could look at the opportunity of playing in Venezuela as a massive jump that bypasses having to work your way up to the Championship or Premier League. Straight away, you could be one good season in Venezuela away from playing in the greatest competition in South America, the Copa Libertadores, and really showcasing yourself.
No, I agree. I agree completely. And I was going to say that I think the examples of the last couple of years having, you know, African and international players coming to Footbay is very positive, and it could be, you know, the great examples for players, English players or European players in general, to come to Venezuela and play Copa Libertadores and have that, you know, that opportunity than trying to, you know, go their way up from, you know, second or third division leagues in top Europe, in top leagues in Europe, you know. So I think, yeah, that if and you can see it as George's example. You see, he's from since 2013 in Colombia, so he was only 23 years old back then. So we have to look to find players that are under 23, under 22 that can be developed in Footbay and hopefully being able to, you know, to succeed in our league, bring the level of the league up, and then they can move to the next step, you know?
Yeah.
And me, for us as a, for us as an agency, it's definitely an opportunity that we're looking for, and we will help, you know, other agencies in other markets to help them bring players to Footbay, you know, so we can help them out in the transition, you know?
Yeah, and we've seen in the past 24 months how one or two good players from a country can make a big difference in Liga Footbay, that country namely being Panama. 2 seasons ago, there were only 4 Panamanians in the league. I know in previous years that number's been higher, but 2 years ago there were only 4, and now there's 21. That's an increase of 17 Panamanians over the course of 2 to 3 seasons. And that ignores the fact, or doesn't you know, allude to the fact that Freddy Gondola has come through Footbay and left again in that time, as has Alfredo Stevens. So we can see that it's easy, or the league itself lends itself to trend setting in that way. You only need one or two impressive players from a particular country or particular region in the world to do well, to quickly influence perception. And Of the players that I said arrived at Caracas over the past 2 years, Kaki has played with all three of them. Kaki, obviously, they're not English, they're from Africa, but they arrive with one of the things that's been highlighted to me by club owners as a reason not to buy English players, that being they don't speak Spanish. As somebody that's played with Samson, with Bonsu, with Ade, who's in recovery from injury, you saw their adaptation firsthand, and also you were somebody from day one that was able to help them because you yourself speak fluent English. How difficult was it for them to adapt? And can you see it being a similar opportunity for English players?
Well, I think there might be something cultural in that topic, you know, because if you try to analyze the country or the continent where they came from, they always try to look for a club outside of where they were born. You know, it's easier for an African player to go to another country and try to adapt because they might have the need to do it. You know, and They came here, and like George said, one of the main things that might be difficult for the footbed to bring English football players is the language. Most of the coaches here do not speak English, so you have to be lucky in order to have a player who can might be like a kind of translator for them, because yep. The tactical works and everything, the day and day stuff that they have to know, it's hard to communicate to them. You know, we have been lucky that they were very open to try to learn some Spanish. You know, they have been very willing to integrate with us in our culture, so it was less difficult for them to compenetrate with us, you know, as a group. I don't know if you try to see the British or the England football players, they are not used to go outside of their country, you know, sure. even in top leagues, you know, it's yeah. hard to find yeah. a lot of English players over there.
Even in Spain.
In Real Madrid, you can count with less than
two
with your hands, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. McManaman, Beckham, I don't know, Owen, and yeah. he was only one year in Spain. Maybe yeah. you can take. Gareth Bale is not English, but he's British.
Yeah.
So he's from Wales. They are not used to go out and reach opportunities outside of their country. So I think it's hard. And I also see that here we have like a problem with our self-perception, and we think that we are too far away from those leagues level. So we feel like kind of intimidated to their culture, you know, because we might think that they are expecting the same thing that they have over there in England. So we might feel ashamed of it. And that's why, you know, the club owners are not too willing to bring British or England players here to Venezuela.
Yeah, and it's one of the other reasons that club owners that I spoke to around this time last year also told me, not just English players, but European players in general, as well as the language issue. They also said that the expectation that players from Europe are going to have are too great. Like they said, in signing a South or Central American player and even players coming from Africa, they said their expectations on like the facilities and what the club can provide and do for them are lower. Whereas bringing in a player from Europe, they're likely going to come with high expectations, and that would put a lot of pressure on a Venezuelan club, particularly in recent times where Venezuelan clubs, many of them have struggled to pay their players on time, have struggled to provide the basic facilities in some situations, it would be adding another pressure to a club that's already
and most of them doesn't have any infrastructure, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have like some facilities to work every day, to go and have a breakfast or have some meal. They don't even have gyms or weights, you know.
That was one of the things that I noticed as well when I came to Colombia, for example. Well, America Cali had their own training place, like training ground and that, and facilities. But I went to, for example, Patriotas in Tunja, where we had to get on a bus and travel 40 minutes to find a training pitch, you know. And that, for example, players in Europe, most of them have got their own training facilities. Like what Kaki said, you can sit down, you can have breakfast. If you want to go to the gym, you can go gym an hour earlier, you know. It's the facilities is different, you know. It's for maybe players that come from Europe at first, it might feel a bit uncomfortable until you adapt, you know. I think that's something big, and that sometimes maybe you can, if you're not mentally strong, and if it's like something, for example, for me, I'm just saying that if I never had football and I didn't have this opportunity, then I don't know what I'd be doing in life, you know, because it was something that I needed to do because I never had nothing else. So for me to come out here, for me, it was a fight and I needed this work. I needed it. But if you haven't got that hunger, I suppose, then maybe someone that has got, maybe if they go back to England, they can go and work and do something. They might come back here and think, no, I'm not, it's not worth it, like, for what they're going to pay me or the facilities, and I'd rather just go back home and work, you know. That is something that maybe would put back in an English player, you know. That's what I think, anyway.
And George, at the moment, there's a young English player on trial at Envigado, roughly 10 years younger than yourself, so at a similar age to you when you first arrived in Colombia. How is he coping, and what's changed in between when you arrived to Colombia to when he's arriving now? Do you think the situation and the environment for a foreign player, a non-South American player, to succeed in Colombia is better than it was when you arrived all those years ago, or is not much change?
Well, I think he doesn't speak Spanish, so obviously while I'm here, it's made it a bit more easier. And at the club at this moment, there's two or three players that can speak English, so that's helping him as well. Envigado is a club that's organized. Envigado, that we're kind of lucky that we can train on the pitch that we play on, you know. We've got our gym. They've it's much better. Like, for example, now we've got a nutritionist that in the morning he's there for us. Obviously we don't get breakfast in it, but we get our protein after. He makes sure that we've got everything there, like our electrolytes, everything's ready for us. That's got better. A lot of clubs here in Colombia, I've seen that they're starting to get like people there at the clubs that are giving them protein, that are checking their body fat. When I first got here, it was nothing like that. It was just get in there, train and out, you know. So it is getting better. It's getting better. It's getting more organized. The stadiums, the pitches have got much better since I first arrived here. There were some pitches that were not in the best conditions, where now every single pitch in the first division in Colombia is decent, is good. And for Mateo, he said to me, it's totally different than England. You know, Georgie went, like, it's different training sessions. The culture's totally different. The trainers, like you said, can't speak English, so. Like what Kay said, you've got to be lucky to be able to arrive at a club and that the trainer can speak, or you've got someone in the team that can help you with speaking English or showing you what to do, what's on the pitch. But it's hard. It's going to be hard because when you're in a game, it's hard to like change and translate in English when you need to be speaking, connecting to the players that are closer to you. You know, maybe you've got a centre half and you're playing as a number 10, when really your communication is with the midfield players. You know, so it's hard for the centre half to be going, oh, hey, in English, like, do this, do that. You know, it really is important that you can speak the language. I really do make that important. But it has got much better. It's got much better. It's improving. The Colombian league is improving in all that, in them things, yeah.
And Kaki, going back to when Samson first arrived, because Bonsu had already been in the country for a year when you arrived to Caracas, if I'm not mistaken, or you arrived the same season, so you were new yourself. When Samson first arrived, he hit the ground running. Like, he was scoring immediately. He scored in the Copa Libertadores qualifiers before the league season started. And then he finished in his first season in Venezuela as, you know, a non-Spanish speaker. He finished top scorer in the division with 18 goals in 34 games. How important was it in those early days that he learned Spanish? Or because I speak to him now still, and I know his Spanish is minimal. So how important is the language, or does it depend on the position? Does the fact that Samson was a lone striker playing up front on his own lessen his need to be able to communicate as much on the pitch?
Well, it was a little bit easier for him because he had Bonsu when he first arrived here, so he could have like some social life outside of the pitch, and I think that might be easier for him in order to adapt to the country, to the league. Mm-hmm. And well, he also had we also had the lucky that we had two guys two guys who could speak to him in English in the pitch in the middle of a game, because you know, the tactic movements, it has to be very well done, especially when you are under San Vicente's coach, you know, being over there outside of the pitch and telling you a lot of stuff. He was very, very demanding in that sense. So it was also difficult for me, you know, because I had to yell at him that he had to do something. He had to try to mark a guy. He had to be in one specific place. And it was hard for me because I was speaking Spanish, and then I have to switch on my brain in order to speak in English. So it was a little bit hard for me at first, but then I could handle it very well. And he's a very open-minded guy, so he was very... Sasso is a very clever guy. You see him, you know him, and he's very shy and that stuff, but he's very clever. He understands a lot of in Spanish. Maybe he cannot speak Spanish fluently, but he understands a lot. Nowadays, Francesco Stefano, our coach, he says a lot of stuff to him in Spanish, and he understands it completely. So he doesn't have to speak it, so, but he has to understand it. And that's our priority. You know, he has to understand what we are telling him in order to do it in the pitch.
And Mauricio, ultimately, with all this discussion about the situation as it is and the difficulties that players may experience, or, you know, in the case of George and Kaki, talk about Samson and Bonsu have experienced, what do you think needs to happen for not just an English player to come to Liga Footbay, but for it to be a success? Because if an English player comes here and it works out terribly for whatever reason, that could close the door for another 10, 20 years. As it is, the next English player to come to Liga Footbay will be the first English player. So it's sort of essential that it goes well. So what needs to happen for it to go well?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. One, I think you have to think of the right team. Having a coach that could understand or speak English could be a game changer, could be very beneficial for that player that comes in. Also evaluate the city that you're going to bring him. The teammates, like Kaki said, if you have two or three teammates that can speak the language, then that's going to make his life a little bit easier to understand the work and the day-to-day basis. So I think you have to really analyze to find the right team, the right environment for that player to be successful. And hopefully that will open doors to other players in the future. So we have a lot of work to do.
you speak to club owners on a near daily basis, if not daily basis. Do you think there are clubs in Liga Futebol right now that would be willing to bring an English player in?
I think we have to look at case by case, but definitely the experience of Caracas FC bringing the African players and being successful has definitely something that other teams are looking into it or looking at that, experience as something that they could try to replicate with players from outside of Venezuela, Europe, and different cultural backgrounds. So we'll definitely... It's finding the right player to develop. Not every player, like you said, it's gonna be like George said and Kaki said. Not any English player is gonna just say, "Oh yeah, let me go to Futebol." I think there has to be the right things in his background to really take this as a great opportunity for his career. So. Mm-hmm. I think it's, but definitely, I think it could be very, 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 very beneficial and important for an English player to try it out.
When you first arrived in Colombia yourself, what was the media attention like around you? You know, you were an English player playing in Colombia. You weren't the first English player, but you were the first in over 60 years. So it was a big deal. Was there a lot of media hype around you?
There was, especially where obviously I went to a club which was a big club, America de Cali, which is one of the biggest clubs in Colombia. There, obviously, an English player coming over to Colombia was something that the media did like. I even got a few surnames like Ande Yuka, Sangre Yuka, and Costa, things like that, obviously. But I did get a lot of media.
And presumably, if an English player was to arrive in Liga Futebol in the near future, they too would get a lot of attention from the Venezuelan press. Which leads me on to a wider question that, Kaki, the Venezuelan football world, be it the league, the federation, the press and the fans as a collective and how those different entities interact. Do you think Liga Futebol is in the position for an English player to come here and succeed?
Well, that depends on many factors. You know, it has to. It first starts with the player mentality. You know, like George said, he needs to be hunger of success. You know, because if you come here, you know, you're not gonna be as comfortable as you gonna be in your country, in your league. Like Mauricio said, you have to think. Very well to which club he's going to play with, because it depends on a lot of stuff, like the city, like the infrastructure, the coaches, the other players. You know, it's not as easy as it might seem at first, but I think they can come here and make a good impression. You know, you have to convince a club in order to be brave to bring him here. I think they might gonna ask for a test, or you know, they're gonna say, hey, you have to come here for at least 2 weeks, and there's a lot of stuff that you have to analyze, but I think that might be the way.
And Mauricio, what kind of player do you think would be suitable for Liga Futebol to come into England? And that question, you know, it's up to you how you answer it, but not just the mindset and perhaps not just having the ability to speak English, but do you think there's a particular age or a particular position which would give an English player the greatest chance of making a good impression and succeeding in Venezuela?
It's a good question. You know, I think one of the things that England players known for is like they work, they're very hard workers, you know, they go strong, they're good, defensive skills. They go, they win duels. You know, they're very hard worker players. They go hard. They don't like to be, you know, just playing the game in a fancy way. So I think Venezuelan football, if you analyze it, a lot of teams, they like to pressure and a lot of running, and they're very into that type of player. So I think a very, good midfielder, that have, good stamina and work ethic could do very well in Venezuelan football in general. But, it's just an example. I think, you can have also center backs because of the height, good forwards also. There's a couple in college football that are English players that I have heard great things about them that I think could be a great it could be a great opportunity for them to come to play in Venezuela from college Division One, for example, in the US. I think that could be looking into the right players, it could be something interesting to look into it.
Yeah, and we've had a profile similar to that, albeit a Venezuelan player, this market with Santiago Herrera returning to Deportivo La Guaira after, a couple of seasons in Division One college soccer in the US. But earlier in your answer, it sounded like you were describing George. George, you've been in Colombia for 9 years. Could you see yourself coming to Liga Football?
Well, yeah, I'm open. If the opportunity opened up, then I'd love to come over. I think with the experience I've had here in Colombia, and I've adapted to the South American football. I think it would be something great for me and my career. So yeah, it would be good.
And to end on Kaki, arguably one of the most experienced players in Liga Football. You've seen how the game has changed in Venezuela over the past 10 years. You've seen different countries, their players come here and succeed at different times. There's been an influx of players from Panama or an influx of players from Uruguay. If English players were to come to Liga Football and do well, could you see it becoming not just something that Venezuela does, but maybe like it could set a new precedent for South America in general?
I don't know if he's in South America, but he's that first player is going to open a door here in Venezuela, because we are trying to, or all the clubs are trying to get talented foreign players, in order to improve, because there's something happening here in Venezuela, something very similar to what happened in Uruguay, is that the good players are going to better clubs in other countries at a very early age, so it's hard to compete in international cups because of that, other reasons. And I think it might be helpful for us to get that talent. It doesn't matter where it comes from,
Yeah, excellent. Guys, thank you all for bringing your different experiences and different expertise to the table. I think this is probably the most illustrious lineup we've had since starting the Football English podcast. I'm really grateful to hear your insight. Mauricio, I'm going to, as a football agent, I'm going to leave you with the final say on this. Liga Football, is it ready for an English player? And how soon do you think it could be?
I definitely believe that football is ready for an English player, and I hope it happens soon, very soon. Hopefully this year or next year.
Well, me too. As football English, it would be perfect for us, an English player in football. And for me, someone that followed my football dreams, albeit off the pitch, to come to Venezuela and work in Venezuelan football and work in football full time, it would be amazing to see a fellow countryman here on the pitch. I'd certainly have a reason to support a team if that was the case. Guys, thank you all again. And I hope everyone at home has enjoyed listening. This has been the Football English podcast. Until next time, goodbye.